It's time for Heat Wave Sports. Sit back and relax as you take a tour around the world of sports each and every Saturday and Sunday night. And now, your hosts for Heat Wave Sports, Tim Unglesby and Tom Barton.
And on the heels of the most exciting Super Bowl to date, welcome to Heatwave Sports, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. Tim Unglesby, Ari Platinum with you. Somewhere on Durango at the Lotus Broadcast Studios. The line to get in here was amazing, Ari, that, you know, they knew that the big Super Bowl recap show was happening tonight. Had to fight through some of the crowd out there, but... Before I bring in my co-host, I do have to bring up a point of contention with you about your opening monologue there. Lackluster, huh?
I mean, for me personally and for the people around me, it seemed rather... I guess it depends, I mean, where you stand. I know that they didn't come anywhere near, what was it, like 56?
Was it 58, I believe, right?
Yeah, so I know that's a tough one. For me, it was great. I ate great food, hung out, and got paid, so... No complaints here.
Yeah, the getting paid part is even better. I mean, yeah. You know.
Pretty ladies.
Everybody had parties today. And that's the best part of, I think, the Super Bowl. Whether you like the NFL or not, it's the one time of year other than, I guess you could say, like New Year's, that everybody just gets together to be idiots and root and for one side or the other and get drunk. You know what I mean? It's like it's like a party.
Yeah. But doesn't matter what you're doing. Just, yeah.
Right. But when it was all said and done... And I'll bring in my partner right now from TomBartonSports.com, Sports Garden Network, Monday through Fridays, Tom Barton. Tom, when it was all said and done, we might as well have just ran this show that we had 3 years ago, 2 years, or was it 4 years ago, 2 years ago, and now this year. It's the same ending, Tommy. New England Pats win another title.
The GOAT is still the GOAT. The GOAT quarterback is still the GOAT quarterback. The GOAT coach is still the GOAT coach. The Super Bowl was a poorly executed Super Bowl, I can say that. Boring, sure. The commercials were god-awful. There was maybe one saving grace, mostly terrible. The halftime show was the biggest piece of garbage I've ever seen. Overall, not too good of a day unless you're a Patriots fan. And you could go, well, yeah, did it again, right? Here we go again.
I think... I'll agree with a lot of what you said. And we'll break it down tonight, obviously, because we're on for the big three-hour edition here on Sunday night. I guess we'll just start with the obvious, Tom. And I was on one of those guys that actually sat with a Patriots money line ticket. So I was happy at the end of the night. And, you know, was the game boring? I guess you could perceive it that way. I looked at it more like a chess matchup. And... if you're going to play chess with Bill Belichick, you're not going to win. The outcome is going to be what it is.
But, Tim, I disagree with that. You know I love – give me a 6-3 football game. I like good defense. Mm-hmm. Was this defense or was this offensive poorly executing? I mean, you know, an offensive game plan poorly executing, I think that Jared Goff looked like a deer in headlights. Sean McVay – didn't belong in the game. Jared Goff didn't belong in the game. The Rams didn't belong in the game. I told you guys that last night. And they proved it. They should have been nowhere near this game. They looked lost. McVay looked completely and utterly overmatched. They looked scared. They looked intimidated. And you know, a good chess match is a good chess match, but it's not like we had a lot of sacks and a big running game put down. It's not like the defense really came up to play. It was the offense just looking bad. I mean, they just looked bad. McVay looked lost. Listen, if this was a game, and I'll say this, I'm sure I'm going to take a lot of heat for this. If this was a game played by a team that wasn't in the Super Bowl, let's just say this was game, you know, 6 or 7, and this was McVay's first year, you'd have people calling up going, what is he doing? He'll never make it in the NFL. He's this bad. I mean, that's how poor I think that poorly coached this game was. This is one of the worst coaching performances I can remember.
But coming into the game, what is the expectations of a team that hasn't been there, hadn't been in that situation? I sat next to a friend of the show's today at a party, Tom Jose Volonte, wearing his Rams gear and yelling up and down. And all I kept saying to him, I was like, your quarterback is terrible, man. This is the reason why it's not. You're not going to win this game because he is so bad. And, yeah, McVay didn't look like McVay that we had seen during the season. But I don't think McVay's looked like McVay in the last 3 to 4 games, to tell you the truth.
And I want to get into all the mistakes. McVay was a scared child. I'm sorry. That's what he was.
Yeah.
Sean McVay was a scared child out there today. But it just proves to the point. The Rams should have never been in this game. I tweeted it out. I'm like, how much do you want to be watching Breeze against Brady right now? How much do you want to even be watching? Listen, New England won, so you can't take it away from them. But how many more people want to, all right, next week, let's play Chiefs New Orleans and see if we can get a better game. But McVay belonged nowhere near this game. None. Jared Goff, nowhere near this game. They looked terrible tonight.
Defense was nice, though. Ram defense was good.
Was it really? How many times did they sack Brady? The two, oh, my God, defensive MVP. How did the defensive MVP look tonight, Tim?
I think it was more the pressure that they were putting on Brady and forcing, obviously.
I don't know. I mean, Brady, listen, all I heard was at the half, Phil Simms turns around, or Boomer, I forgot who said it, turns around at the half and says, oh, man, Brady's not having a good game. He had 162 yards passing at the half.
Yeah.
It wasn't a crisp, efficient game. Yeah, it was. Was it a good, great passing game? No, it wasn't. But you know what? I don't think it was a bad game. There's nothing that the Rams did specifically that I think made it a bad game. A good game defensively. Edelman picked them apart. They shut down Roddy White. James White. Okay, I'll give them that. I didn't see good defense today, Tim. I just saw bad offenses.
I think. Yes and no. I believe that the defensive part of it came in for the Rams in the second half, because if you remember at the beginning of the game, Patriots probably should have scored in those first two drives. And we're talking about
absolutely. How many times is Gostkowski going to miss a kick?
Right. How many? You look at basically the game being turned around, possibly a blowout if that's the situation. I think in the second half they went. For whatever reason, I thought Michelle was running the ball effectively and. You take away that big long run he had, he still was able to carve up almost 4.5 yards per carry. So, I guess the way it played out, there should have been more points on the board, but it didn't matter, because when it came down to it, and you're talking about even the Patriots losing a star on their defensive secondary, they were able to shut down the Rams offense, and that's essentially what got them their sixth title.
Well, Tim, I was sitting with some Rams fans, And I asked them, and I'll ask you the same thing. I'll ask every Rams fan out there. 876-1340, jump on board. Tom Barton Sports over on Twitter, HW Sports on Twitter. I asked every Rams fan, was there ever a point in this entire game where you thought the Rams were going to win?
No.
There was never.
No.
The Patriots, and they kept saying, Steve Romo kept bringing it up. He's like, listen, they're only down 3-0, they're only down, whatever it was, 10-3, because it felt like the Patriots were blowing them out. And that's how the Patriots play. They've now had, I know it was a 10-possession Super Bowl, every Super Bowl, complete and utter control of this game, even though the scoreboard didn't show it. And there was never a point in the game, never a point in this game where, as a Patriot backer, you're sitting there going, uh-oh, Patriots might lose. There was never a point in the game.
Was there ever a point in the game where you're thinking to yourself, I need to load up on the Patriots right now, because this isn't going to, this is just going to either get worse or stay the way it is? And they were, I'm talking about it by point spread factors, because at 3-0, they're still covering.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, Abby was on, my wife was on the Rams, rooting for the Rams. Literally, first play of the game, Sonny Michel rips off, like a 12 or 13-yard? She texts me, and that's it. The game's over. The guy sitting next to me had a Rams ticket and goes, uh-oh, game's over. I mean, so if you were betting the Rams, you couldn't have had confidence if you really were. It wasn't, I'm sitting there talking to Rams fans, and these guys, there was a family from L.A. they were ready to rip up their tickets in the first 5 minutes of the game, Tim. Brady marched down the field, and then the field goal miss gave them a little bit of hope, but they were never in the game after that point.
What was it like? So you've been in Super Bowl parties in Vegas. Now you've been in Super Bowl parties in AC. Is there a difference? Is the fan base different? What are some of the different intricacies that you saw between the two places?
I'll tell you, the biggest difference for me is when you've been there with me at times, when you are going to a sports book and you're getting ready to kind of find your seat for the day. In Las Vegas, the game goes off at 3:30. You got to be in your seat by 11:30 maybe, right? You got to be there. If you want a good seat, you want a cushiony leather seat, you got to be there. About an hour and a half before game time, Tim, there were still people in the front row. There were still seats in the front row untaken. I said, wow, it's going to be one of those, huh? Atlantic City's not going to – they're just not going to do it this year. I mean, there was excitement. There was parties. But there's not going to be people. About 40 minutes before game time, I looked up, and you would have thought you were in Vegas. It was a packed, ridiculous crowd. A lot more football fans – than in Las Vegas. In Las Vegas, as you know, I mean, everyone's got a dollar on something. And, you know, there wasn't the jerseys. We like to do the jersey search. Let's see the craziest jersey. Nobody was wearing jerseys. You saw a lot of Philly jerseys, a lot of Giants jerseys, of course, from the local teams. Not a lot of sporadic jerseys. But better fans of football rather than just, you know, fans of hey, let's go watch the game and have a good time. People were really football fans here.
So all in all, first time, right? First time with the gaming aspect.
It's not as good
there.
As Vegas. It's not anywhere close, but it's a different vibe.
But can it build itself to be that?
You know, I don't know. I don't know because of this. Because they're going to have to compete with New York soon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to have to compete with Philadelphia. Almost everybody I was sitting with was from New York or Philly. There was hardly any New Jersey people there. And you know, if you're competing with Philly and New York, that's going to go away. You know, New York, by this time next year, I fully expect New York to be the place to be. You know, driving out into Manhattan for the game. So I don't know. I like the vibe. I like what they're doing there. They really are trying to take a Vegas feel with the look, the feel, the comps, and everything that they're doing. You know, they're going above and beyond. And it actually reminds me of what Vegas was like 12 years ago, giving free drinks, giving out T-shirts, giving out promotion. They're doing a good job, Tim, but I feel like the minute that they start getting to that point of, oh, wait a minute, this could feel like Vegas, all of a sudden New York's going to take over and it's just going to go to the wayside.
Well, let's look at this game a little bit, Tom. The lowest scoring Super Bowl in history was 16 combined points by the two teams. First thing jumps off the page for me was, and this is something that we had talked about for the last 2 weeks as being part of the Rams' game plan, essentially on the offensive side of it, would be how Todd Gurley performed in this game. Basically ineffective, 10 for 35, and he had three attempts there in the first half. What happened?
I talked about it all night last night. I think in the next 2 weeks or so, we're going to hear about something with Todd Gurley. We're going to hear this disciplinary problem, off the field something. We're going to hear something with Todd Gurley because you said ineffective. I don't even think he was ineffective. I think Sean McVay, again, just bungled this one up. Todd Gurley got three carries in the first half. Three carries the first half. Now, all week long, you know, you've been listening to my show, Tim. All week long, I have asked experts, handicapping experts. I've asked bookmakers. I've asked newspaper reporters. I've asked people that are on the field. I've asked ex-players. Every one of them, I said, guys, I'm making a big deal about Todd Gurley. To each and every single person, they said, Tom, he's healthy. Tom, he's healthy. You're making too big of a deal about it. I'm going by them, but Tim, what I watched tonight says I wasn't wrong, right? I wasn't wrong there. This is not a man that was healthy, And if he is healthy, there's a major disciplinary problem.
Yeah, I think I had read a rumor that in the Saints game, he dropped the pass early. And basically, at that point, we didn't see him much of the rest of the game against the Saints as C.J. Anderson played most of the way out. And you're right, it could be more of a mental thing there and a disciplinary thing with McVay. He could be harboring an injury that we don't know about as bad as it will be. But I know when you're talking about a guy who was potentially an MVP candidate coming into the season, right, a guy who was supposed to be the centerpiece of that offense, the run and gun, and he's ineffective in two of the biggest games of the year, there's more to it. I think you're right, and I would like to know if something comes of this, because without him being that guy, and taking nothing away from C.J. Anderson, Tom, but you know he's over the hill. We know that he's overweight. We know that, and he's not Gurley. So having Gurley ineffective or out of the game, now you're forcing your deer in headlights quarterback to make plays. And he wasn't ready for that stage. And I think New England, the defense, did a great job, especially on third downs, and putting that pressure on Goff and forcing just terrible throws. You saw he overshot receivers many a times. A couple times he had to force it out. And that, to me, was a telling tale the rest of the game, is that without that rushing attack, it was over. That, you know, the Patriots were able to key in on the key receivers there.
But, Tim, is that a product of Todd Gurley? Or is this Sean McVay, you know, do you think he maybe outthought himself? You know, this is why I'm saying how badly Sean McVay coached. Mm-hmm. You didn't use Todd Gurley, okay? You didn't try to get him in the passing game at all. This is a team that punted 8 times in a row, Tim. They got Johnny Ecker. They never tried to fake it. The first drive that they had from the 42-yard line, and you had an opportunity at that point from the 42-yard line to try a 57, 58-yard field goal. Okay, I get it. Why not go for it there? Why not use Gurley out of the backfield? Why not try a fake punt? He was just completely out of sync in this game. You don't do that. We've watched Sean Payton, you know, be aggressive in the Super Bowl. You're not going to beat Bill Belichick and Tom Brady in the Super Bowl playing like that. And you know, when you take into account everything with Gurley, let me tell you something. If he was hurt, the numbers don't show it. The Next Gen stats showed he was the fastest man on the field tonight when he carried the ball, which he only carried the ball 11 times. He was the fastest man on the field. So if he is hurt, and we discussed this, I brought this up last night about the cutting and whatnot. If he is hurt, Tim, okay, we got to hear about it. But it didn't look like it. It certainly didn't look like it straight ahead. They barely attempted any passes to him, tried to squeeze, you know, C.J. Anderson into the game. It was just bad coaching.
You think that guys like McVay, Doug Peterson, another one that crosses my mind, the younger guns of the NFL coaching ranks, because they're coddled so much as being these next geniuses, that, like you said, they obviously find time in pressure situations that they can't produce because they outthink themselves.
Yeah, I think this is, again, this goes with the intimidation factor, right?
Mm-hmm.
This goes with, Belichick's going to do this, so I'll do this. And Belichick's going to do, well, maybe we'll do this. You know, Belichick's going to want to stop Todd Gurley. So maybe if I just don't use Todd Gurley, and you just get, he gets you to go crazy. And I think that's really what happened tonight, is that Belichick just got in his mind, and he just got into a position where McVay was out-coached in every facet of the game. I cannot stress how poor of a coaching execution went on tonight by Sean McVay.
When you look at the way this game flowed, and like you said, 3-0, but essentially the feel of it is that New England's blowing them out right off the football field. You come out in the second half, they get the Rams get the ball first again. You know, there was, in my mind, like you said, you asked the question, did you ever feel that the Rams could win the game? I never felt, even when they got down, they were driving down, and essentially on the pick that, when they went to back-to-back pass attempts, and the first one he dropped, the second one they got picked, even at that point in my mind, even if they had scored, I was still saying to myself, they're not going to be able to stop them, and I just don't see them going tit-for-tat at that point with New England.
Think about what had to happen, Tim, for them to even be competitive. For them to be even be competitive in this game. Drive number one, Steven Gostkowski, who does not miss, and nobody misses in that stadium, Steven Gostkowski misses a field goal, okay? Tom Brady throws an interception. That wasn't a regular interception, right? That was an interception that, what happened? You know, it was bounced off and, it was tipped up. So Brady throws an interception, and the most reliable kicker in the game misses the kick, or else you're down 14-0 at that point, right? You had two possessions come up empty where the Patriots drove down there. This is a game that the scoreboard doesn't read what the game was. This should have been a Patriots blowout, and that's what I watched. Look, the score says whatever it was. New England, to me, dominated this game.
Jared Goff, 19 for 38, 229. He had an interception, sacked four times by the Pats. Brandon Cooks did.
Five completions, by the way, not to jump in here, Tim. Five completions for 59 yards at the half, and the halftime announce team decides to focus on Tom Brady having a bad first half. Five for 59, and they said, well, you know, Brady didn't have that good of a half with his 162 first half yards.
Of course, right? 3 points, yeah. That's, you know. Cooks was effective for L.A. Woods, 5 for 7. Like I said, Gurley was basically the spoon that stirred that offense. Ineffective without him, and that was the big question mark coming into this game, is what were going to be like. We had talked about that, and I think all in all, when I look at the Rams game plan, I think a lot of it, you're right, it's a situation where coach was too cute with his playbook. I'm not sure, I don't think. In a game like, they're not used to playing games like this, Tom. That's the thing. And I don't know if, obviously it's something that he's going to have to adjust to, and I'm sure he will because I think he's a good coach. But you talk about a situation where you're coming into a game and everybody loves that side of the football because of what they had seen. Really, they laid a terrible egg today, and it's going to be a rough off season for the Rams, Tom.
Yeah, it is. And let me ask you this, Tim. Have you ever watched the Rams play a slower pace of game?
No.
Tony Romo, who, by the way, was the only saving grace of tonight. He was fantastic. But Tony Romo made a really good point tonight, and he was complimenting the coaching staff, and I'm going to rip him apart for the same exact point, okay? And that is this. Tony Romo sat back, and he said, hey, you know, what's going on here is that you look at what they have 15 seconds, right? He was talking about the 15-second thing before Sean McVay stops talking to you in the ear. 15 seconds before this. 15 seconds, right? That's what he was talking about. Okay, I get it, 15 seconds. But they played slow. They didn't run to the line because they had that 15 seconds. They didn't do that because they had that 15 seconds, right? So instead of being the Rams, the go, hurry up Rams, Tim, what did they do? They took that 15 seconds, right? And what they did with that 15 seconds was that's it. You know, you're going to go slower. You're going to, be slower. And that's just the way that it was executed. And that's not the Rams style.
Again, another point where I think that Sean McVay was in a position where he was outthinking himself. Oh, well, you know what? We'll go slow and then, I can't talk to him after 15 seconds, so let me give him the pre-read, and then Belichick can't do that, and I don't want him. He, outthinking himself, got himself out of his own game plan.
Yeah. You know, when you're the team that led the NFL in points the last 2 years and you don't even score a touchdown in the biggest game of everyone's career, I think just, spell it out right there. It's something that I see what you're saying, and my thing is, I don't know how you just go away from what you were successful at, and I think that's where you said that the genius being Sean McVay, he went away from what was successful for him, and you know what, in this case, you're trying to outthink Bill Belichick when really Belichick, like you said, he was in his head already. The game was over at that point. I think if you're going to be that team, win or lose, that's the way you play in the Super Bowl. Make them outscore you.
Well, Tim, if I sat here and told you guys last night that the Los Angeles Rams plan to slow the game down and to give Todd Gurley three carries in the first half. You go, what are you talking about, Tom? Are you insane? And that was literally their game plan. I want to know who. Yeah, see, and here's the problem that I've had with Sean McVay. People have already anointed him, you know, the genius here, right? I mean, Sean McVay is, I mean, you can't question him. He's the genius. He's the boy wonder. Who's sitting in that game plan room with him that said, yeah, that's what we'll do. We'll take our high-octane offense. We'll completely slow it down to a crawl and not use Todd Gurley. That's a good plan. That'll win the Super Bowl for us.
Well, when you're the man, you don't listen to anybody else, right? They're all yes men.
That's the problem. Yeah. That's one of the problems I do have with Sean McVay. And I've had it all year. Look, you know, I know everybody else sees Boy Wonder because they see his age. Let's just look at him as the coach. And can we leave out the age for a moment, right? Can we leave out the age for a second? Did he look like Boy Wonder against the Saints, Tim? Because he didn't to me.
No.
You know, in the second half of the season, did the Rams look like Boy Wonder was calling plays? It certainly didn't to me. You know, in this game, he was exposed. And I think Bill Belichick, you know, took it, and I told you this last night, I think Bill Belichick and especially Josh McDaniels took it almost as a personal slight that people were even attempting to call him this.
New Orleans Saints fans are happy tonight as the team that shouldn't have been in the Super Bowl ends up on the wrong side of a 13-3 defeat to the New England Patriots, six-time world champions now. When we come back, we'll look at the Rams as they head into the offseason, and then we'll look at the Patriots side of the ball as well. It's a big three-hour edition of Heat Wave Sports tonight, it really is a super Sunday night. Heat Wave Sports, Fox Sports Radio.
Defense, on me!
Okay, Petey, don't you drift to the strong side.
Coach, they're calling a holding penalty on me every time.
Did I ask for your excuses? You want to act like a star? You better give me a star effort, do you hear me?
Forget about him! Allen, you're in! Come on!
All right. Now, I don't want them to gain another yard.
You blitz all night! And if they cross the line of scrimmage, I'm gonna take every last one of you out. You make sure they remember forever the night they played the Titans.
Now back to Heat Wave Sports with Tim Oglesby and Tom Barton.
First reaction here from Super Bowl 53. I'm sure you'll be loaded with this over the next few days here on local radio, but Tommy and I get to do it first because we do it the best. So, Tom, after today's game, the Rams will head back to L.A. They'll begin their off-season program. Jared Goff, 24 years of age. McVay, long-term contract, right?
Right.
We know how they're set up. First, if you're the GM and you've seen how the last 2 years have gone, I think you're happy with the progress, but after today, if you're the GM of the LA Rams, Tom, what are you doing in the offseason?
I'm trying to keep this team together. You know, one of the things that and you know, I was shocked to hear this, but it was a great point. One of the things that Ryan Leaf said to me on the air this week was he said, you know, the Rams are in a lot of pressure mode here. And I said, pressure from the Rams? And he said, yeah, look, they pushed their chips to the middle of the table here. They went all in on this defense that basically, you know, is not getting really any younger, right, to leave. When else are you going to get an MVP season by a guy like Aaron Donald? I know he's very good, Tim, right? But it's still an MVP season. You look at the rest of this team, it's not getting any younger. I think they have a core in place, of course, but look, you gotta worry about this defense. I think it's good, but it's not great going into next year unless you keep them together. So this is more about keeping the team together than it is to go out and get somebody new.
Well, this is off of it's called the Rams Wire. It's an LA Rams website or fan site. I'm not sure, but. Projected UFA free agents next year, Tommy, Sue, Joyner, Fowler Jr., all off the defensive end, are free agents.
That's the point. Mm-hmm. I mean, what is this team without Sue? I know he didn't make a big, huge impact during the regular season, but how do we, you know, look, how many people are watching in interior line play? He freed up Donald in a lot of situations so they couldn't double team him. Dante Fowler, I thought, changed this entire complexion of this team. I thought they changed the entire team around when they got him. You're going to have to replace those guys. The linebackers were weak as it is, Tim. Linebackers were not exactly the strongest area of this team as it was. And now you're going to tell me you're going to get a little weaker there. Now, you want to talk to me and say, look, they still have Cooks and Woods and Cooper Kupp's going to come back healthy. Sure. What's the story with Todd Gurley? Can anyone expect C.J. Anderson? I hear that they're going to bring back. Anybody expect him to have that kind of impact? And then the biggest question is, how does Jared Goff react to losing a Super Bowl? We watched MVP Matt Ryan, you know, not perform so well after he lost a Super Bowl. This happens. Players lose Super Bowls, and you think, wow, this team's going to be here forever. And I know Ram fans already saying, nah, don't worry about it. Look, we're young. We're crazy. You know, we're strong. We'll go. Remember what Atlanta Falcons fans were saying, Tim? Oh, man, we got the most talented roster in the NFL. And they did. They had a young quarterback. They had a young head coach. They had the best wide receiver in the league. They had a good young defense. They didn't even make the playoffs this year, okay? This is 2 years later. I'd be worried if I'm the Rams, especially when I'm looking behind me and I'm seeing the Seattle Seahawks, who this year, this past year, were supposed to be a terrible team, look really good with an experienced quarterback. I'm watching the San Francisco 49ers only get better. I'm nervous if I'm the Rams. Now, look, it's one loss. It's in the Super Bowl. All right, don't overblow it, Tom. I get that. But there is something to be said, and I'm not the only one that thinks it. There is something to be said out there that they need to keep this core together. It's going to be really interesting. I don't think they can keep Fowler and Sue, both of them. It'll be really interesting to see if they keep either of them. And what's Tlaib's future? I know 2 years ago he was contemplating retiring. 2 years ago, Tim. What's his future?
And I think you're right on the Fowler. When that trade went down, both you and I were like, wow. And what did they give up for him? A third round? I know he was a free agent to be, but I had thought that, you know, really put them in the driver's seat as far as being the favorite in my mind. And it kind of just got overblown. And he played well today for them. There's no doubt. When you look at going back on just what you said about teams' fan bases and thinking, oh, we can get back there. You know as well as I do, Tom, it's not that easy to get back there unless you're the Patriots, who've managed to get there 3 years in a row. But you said the Falcons. We can talk about the Eagles last year. How about, oh, we got Cam Newton 2016, right, Tom? He's the next big thing. They haven't smelled the playoffs since then, if I don't believe. And then Russell Wilson. Yes, the Legion. It was more about the Legion of Boom, I think, at that point. They went back-to-back, and then they didn't get back in there, Tom. So, yeah, you know, these windows, especially the way the NFL and their free agency works, these windows close very quickly.
And the NFC is strong, Tim. I mean, yeah, you know, the Saints aren't going to go away. Minnesota's a year removed from almost going to the Super Bowl. Dallas was a playoff team. The Bears are up and coming and only getting better. You know, the Falcons still have, if they didn't get hit with injuries this year, they still have one of the most talented rosters in the league. The NFC is tough, and now the Rams have the target on their back. They'll have a much tougher schedule, and they still play in a stadium that is half the other team. They have no home field advantage, and their quarterback is terrible now. I mean, look, he's been exposed. I talked to you about him last night. He's been exposed. They didn't belong in this game for sure. Sean McVay didn't belong to stand on the sideline, for sure. But one thing is for sure, more than any of that, and that is Jared Goff was not ready for this stage.
And speaking of Goff and McVay, once again, when you're in the Super Bowl, teams cherry pick off the staff. So Zach Taylor, who was basically the quarterback coach for L.A., he'll be the new coach in Cincinnati this week.
Imagine your Cincinnati sitting there going, oh, my God, this guy's our head coach? What did he do? What did he do with Jared Goff? How is this guy our head coach? 3 points in the Super Bowl.
Well, Well, they kept Marvin Lewis around for how many years, Tom? So does this really surprise you?
Yeah, exactly.
What about the other side? So give me the New England side of tonight's game. We broke down what the Rams didn't do effectively. What did the Patriots do effectively, Tom? We know they win. We know that they made big plays when they had to happen, and we know that when the ball was in Brady's hands, it was a situation in the second half especially that they weren't going to lose this game. What were the highlights of this that you took away from them?
I took away a couple of things. Number one, I didn't agree with the game plan, to be honest with you. But, listen, I'm not the head coach. I thought they should have done a lot more, screen passes, a lot more of White and Burkhead getting involved. What I will say is this. I am fully convinced that Bill Belichick is preparing for life after Tom Brady. I watched him go big in this game. Everyone else in the NFL, Tim, and we've seen Belichick do this time and time again, when the double tight end sets, when the wildcat was coming around, with the crossing patterns. We've watched this time and time again. And everyone else in the NFL is stretching the field. Everyone else in the NFL is going small, going light, getting fast guys, stretch the field, go deep, throw the ball times a game, right? Everyone else is doing that. What did Belichick do tonight? After he, by the way, drafted a running back in the first round, he went power. Get me a big offensive lineman. Get me big running backs. Go with Burkhead. Go with Michelle. Keep people healthy. And I think he is one step ahead of the rest of the NFL. He feels like, you know what? If everyone is going this way, I can wear them down. I can wear down these smaller teams and watch me run the ball and win with running the ball. The Patriots have a lot of decisions to make. And I'll say this, by the way, about the Patriots. This is their least talented team that has ever won the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I don't think that that's even a question. Do you?
Well, I agree.
So you think about what they have. They're going to more than likely lose Gronk, okay? So they have been prepared for the last better part of a decade to have that mismatch, that nightmare mismatch. Well, they got to come up with a different mismatch, Tim. What is that different mismatch? Wear teams down. I expect the Patriots to go out and to go get big. Go get bigger. I see the writing on the wall of, okay, this is who we want to become. As Tom Brady gets into his age 42 season, we're going to ask him less and less to be the guy. He doesn't have to. He could be efficient. Tonight was an efficient game, Tim, right? 260-something yards. Now, he got an interception that really wasn't his fault. Didn't throw a touchdown, but the Patriots won. And Belichick is perfectly fine with that. And if Brady can accept that next year, and I think he can, we're just going to run the ball. You keep getting rid of it quick. Keep those slanting patterns, down. I see that being the new Patriots as a running attack that wears teams down. I wouldn't be surprised if they went out and they got themselves, another big offensive lineman. But I think the days of the Patriots relying upon Tom Brady to do things, especially during the year, I think those days are over. And I believe that this is Belichick starting to prepare for the future. Take away Gronk next year, away from Brady, all of a sudden. Remember, he had Josh Gordon as at least a threat. You don't have Josh Gordon. You don't have Gronk. What is game going to look like next year? Well, maybe it'll look like what his season started or his career started as, almost a game manager. And the thing with Brady is I really believe he's perfectly fine with that as long as it's effective and they're winning.
And I think we saw tonight almost the same, essentially the same playbook we saw in Kansas City, just not the points. They ran the ball 32 times tonight, Tom, for 150 yards. Going by just exactly what you were saying. And when they needed to get a key first down, Edelman was the guy over the middle, or they went to Gronk, right? And those guys had 16 of the 21 pass completions that Brady had. You had nothing from Hogan. You got nothing from Dorsett, who had a big game in Kansas City, right? You got nothing. You didn't even get a look his way. You got James White, which was both you and I were very shocked by, one catch for 5 yards.
Well, the thing with White, though, right, remember this. I was shocked at it, but White had
three catches negated from a penalty. Mm-hmm. So he caught three other balls. Three, you know, so he was catching balls, but he was negated from penalties, three of them.
Burkhead, right? Two
yeah,
grabs.
Yeah, Burkhead was huge.
Yeah. He had two big grabs, and he had that big 26-yard run that basically it sealed the game at the end. But so we saw essentially the same game plan, just not the points this week. You know, maybe you're right. That is the future. And what does Gronk have left to prove, Tom? He's a three-time Super Bowl champion now, and his body is just obviously it's gone. There's nothing there.
Well, and I also think Belichick sees a young group of quarterbacks coming out, and a young group of quarterbacks that when they get hot, they're almost unstoppable, a.k.a. Patrick Mahomes, right? Maybe Jared Goff is in that grouping. Let's talk about Watson being in that grouping. Let's talk about maybe Carson Wentz. I mean, there's a lot of good young quarterbacks coming up. And what do good young quarterbacks want to do, Tim? They want to be in a rhythm, and they want to throw the ball, and they want to throw the ball, and they want to throw the ball. How do you frustrate them? Keep them on the sidelines. Let them sit a long time in between plays, right? Yeah, okay. Well, you're not out there. Patrick Mahomes, Baker Mayfield, these young guys, even Andrew Luck to an extent, they want to be out there flinging it and flinging it and throwing it and go, all right, you want a game 54-51? Let's go. It's emotionally, literally, emotionally or mentally, know how to handle a grinded-out game where you're going, listen, the entire game you might touch the ball 8 times. You got to make the best of those abilities because you're only going to get the ball 8 times. I think those games frustrate them. I think it annoys them. And I think that's exactly what Belichick wants to do.
Talk about Julian Edelman, Tom. You know, when you look at the guys that the Pats have brought in that slot type third, in the basically guys that are going to go over the middle and get you those dirty yards you've seen in the past, Eric Decker, Danny Amendola. But Edelman now with 115,
Wes Welker,
right, 115 career receptions in the postseason. That's second to Jerry Rice. A huge game against the Chargers in their first playoff game this year. Obviously today at, 25-30-1 favorite to win the MVP. He's only the seventh receiver to do it all time. A guy like this, he's not flashy. He's not out there. He's not the guy that teams are keyed in on because he's not – Beckham, let's say, right? But he's Julian Edelman, and we all knew going to this game, this was the key guy for Tom Brady, and they could not stop him just like Kansas City couldn't.
Tony Romo said it during the game. He's unblockable, right? I mean, he's unguardable right now. He was just unguardable. I think with something that you have to do with a guy like Edelman, and you get yourself into a position that you get nervous about it, but what you've got to do with a guy like Edelman, I think you've got to put a body on him up front. And you've got to knock him at the front of the line. Listen, if he beats you with a move in the first yard or two, you know, okay, you got beat. And you're going to need safety help deep. But how many times do we see Julian Edelman running down the field open 35, 40 yards? That's not his game. I think you got to chip him. You got to block him. You got to, you know, put a body on this guy. And we didn't see that tonight. Why? Well, because, you know, Tlaib and Peters are finesse corners. That's who they are. They're intercepting, you know, kind of finesse guys. You get a big body corner and you knock them around and you know, you don't let them get off that line. You might get a couple of 5 yard, you know, penalties because defensive, you know, you hit them after the 5 yard line or is it a 6 yard line. I'll take it to make sure that he knows, listen, you're not going over the middle. Where was the linebacking help when he's doing these 7 yard cut through the middle of the field? You know, where was the linebackers there? You lay a body on this guy, you know, just chip him. You're standing there, you know, give him a shoulder, give him a nudge, give him something. They just let him run free all night.
You think, you know, obviously he's coming off a year where he missed the whole season with that ACL. He's suspended open this year. He plays in that Super Bowl. They beat the Eagles. There's no doubt in my mind about that.
Oh, absolutely. And don't forget, not only was Edelman not in that Super Bowl, Brandon Cooks went out in the first half.
Yeah.
People forget about that. You know, their number one and number two receivers were gone in that game. That was, you know, something, oh, yeah. Oh, well, the Eagles, they're geniuses. Look at what the Eagles did. The Eagles were fantastic. Well, you know what? You could sit back and you could make excuses, or you could understand history history was. They were without their number one and number two receivers.
So before we get to the big guys, Tom, these are the pending free agents for the Pats next year. Gostkowski, Patterson, Hogan, Danny Shelton, Jason McCourty, Malcolm Brown. I mean, some role players there in that, and definitely in that, in, that are to be free agents. Whether they bring some of these guys back or not remains to be seen. But who are we to judge on what Bill Belichick does, right, Tommy? It's just if they do release him, we've seen it year after year after year, guys with bigger names that get released, somebody comes in to fill the void.
Yeah, you know, I think McCourty's going to retire. He's leaning that way. I do think Gronk retires. I just don't see him coming back. You know, you gotta think about what are they going to do with the cap room. Who's the guy that would make sense? And I've heard people go, well, Antonio Brown, he would love to play for. You don't want that kind of guy on this team. I'm sorry, as talented as he is, you don't need that kind of guy on this team. It doesn't fit, you know, the scope of what they do. Could he work in there? Yeah, of course, anybody could. I just don't see Antonio Brown. I don't see, you know, them going after a big name. If they're going to go after somebody, maybe a big defensive name, somebody to get after the quarterback. I like Hightower. And Van Noy is fantastic. But they're both secondary players. They don't have that pass rusher. And Belichick always played well with a pass rusher. Now, he can invent one, and he could create one. But if you're losing this kind of money under the cap, and remember, they're playing with, you know, very, very cheap running backs. They're playing with generally cheap wide receivers. Tom Brady takes pay cuts all the time because he wants to win rather than, you know, guys like Aaron Rodgers that just take big contracts. They're playing without paying most of these guys. You lose Gronk off of your salary cap. You lose a guy like McCourty off of your salary cap. Tim, that's a little bit of money to play with. Mm-hmm. The Patriots with a little bit of money, you go out there, you go get a pass rusher, and I think they can be scary.
And, you know, look at by the way that they draft. They'll find somebody that'll fit the system.
They've been drafting nothing but defense for years now. Now, I know that they took Sonny Michel in the first round because that was a game plan. See, what the NFL does, and we've all played fantasy all out there, right? What the NFL does, most people in the NFL, they go, wow, I'm taking best player available. And they take best player available, whether it be position, doesn't really matter. They just want the best talent available because they don't want people, you know, looking over their shoulder and saying, oh, you should have taken that guy. Bill Belichick coaches for the next year. When Bill Belichick drafts, he drafts for next year. He drafted Sonny Michel to win a Super Bowl in 2019, not to worry about 2020. When he makes a draft this April, he's thinking about who could get me a Super Bowl in 2020 or, you know, 2019, whatever. He's not thinking about 3-4 years down the road. And I'm not telling you that it works for everybody, but he's the only general manager that consistently, I have watched over his entire career, consistently drafts for next year. And he has the philosophy of, I'm going to draft for this year. This guy can help me now, and we'll figure it out in the end. And he doesn't care if he's wrong. Listen, if I'm wrong, I whiff on my pick, no big deal. But I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to make that attempt. Yeah, you can look down the draft and see, well, maybe he's looking for a guy here or there. I don't think so. And I will tell you this, what's scary about New England, guys, I know we got to take a break here, Tim. What's scary about New England is they have all these draft picks this year. They made all kinds of trades. They're sitting there with a ton of draft picks. Don't be surprised if New England's trading up this year.
What about the...
There are two tight ends from Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Two tight ends from Iowa, by the way. Both coming out. Both could be special.
And what about the loss of D.C. Brian Flores, Tom? You know, obviously Patricia goes after 5 years as the D.C. there to Detroit. So we know this happens. Teams get cherry-picked all the time. So now there'll be a new defensive coordinator, in parentheses there, of course, next season in New England.
Well, listen, they got there, you know, with Belichick's system and different defensive coordinators the entire time under this run. I'm taking nothing away from what Patricia did. I'm taking nothing away from Flores. Flores had a great, great, great night tonight. He won't even be mentioned, and he had a great night tonight. But it's Belichick's system. It's just learning. You know, somebody once said, you know, you have a family and you have a factory, and New England's a factory, right? Just
All right, next up. All right, next up. I will say this, Ben. If I'm a Dolphins fan today, I'm feeling pretty good about the coach that I'm getting, right? I mean, you're sitting now. I was making fun of Cincinnati. You're sitting there with the quarterback's coach of a quarterback that just, you know, looked god-awful on the biggest stage, and that's your new head coach. But if you're a Dolphins fan, you're going, my defensive coordinator is pretty good.
1 hour in the books here on a Super Sunday night. Super Bowl 53 also in the books as the Patriots win number 6, tying the Steelers for most all-time. By the way, Brady with 6 also ties the Steelers with the most of all time. When we come back, we'll look at Brady. We'll look at Belichick. We'll look at the future, as Tom's already kind of foreshadowed into what we can expect from the Patriots. We'll look at who Vegas likes next year already, as the odds for Super Bowl 54 have come out. We'll look, of course, at the props. We'll talk about the commercials that Tom hated. All that and more here on a big 3-hour edition of Heatwave Sports. Hour 2 on the way. Fox Sports Radio.